Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless tonight. Lord, we're going to spend a little bit of time celebrating our wives tonight, Lord, and getting good instruction as husbands. And Lord, thank you for verses like this that you've placed in your holy word to remind us, dear God, of the wonderful, wonderful gift of our wives. And Lord, yes, a godly wife is a good thing. A godly wife is a good thing. And so, Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for our wives. And I pray, dear God, that the truths tonight will not only lodge into the hearts of the husbands, but, Lord, this is good for our young people to sit and hear and understand what the Bible says and begin to prayerfully prepare themselves for the one that God will bring to them at some point in their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've looked forward to tonight. Of all of the things that I studied out that the Bible says is a good thing, when I found this one, Proverbs 18:22, it sure made me smile. And I thought immediately, Lord, you know what? This subject is certainly worthy of a Sunday night message at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, husbands, tonight, we're going to very purposefully let the Bible help us celebrate our wives. And ladies, you kind of have the night off, okay? And so you get to sit back. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes of instruction right now, and then after that, you can just breathe and say, because it's almost like I'm letting you sneak in to a men's retreat. And if Pastor Jerry Ross was asked to preach on the subject of marriage, and what the Bible says to it, to men, and there were only men here, you're going to be able to sneak in and listen to that and a little bit. And I hope that's good. Ladies, of course, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for all of us. You're going to hear some adjectives. I'm just going to say a couple things. You're going to hear some adjectives that come before wife or comes before woman. And I think in our churches, our ladies need to pay attention to them. You know, a lot of times we want the accolades that the Bible showers upon women or wives, but we're not very studious as to the type of wife or type of woman that those things are promised to. Those of you that have been given daughters, look right up here. I want you to very purposefully and very biblically raise your daughters. If someone were to ask me, now listen very carefully, someone were to ask me, What is the greatest battle in fundamentalism today? You know, some guys would stand up and say it's over the King James Bible, and somebody else might say it's over standards, and somebody else might say it's over music. Please listen to me. I promise you this is true. The greatest battle being fought in fundamentalisms today is the battle against evangelicals and some pseudo-fundamentalists, which means fake fundamentalists, that are trying to redefine biblical womanhood in a way the Bible does not define them, define it. And I will tell you this, all right? If this is self-gratitude, then it's self-gratitude. There is a book that is a masterpiece that I wish I could get in the hands of every woman and every mother and every father that's raising daughters, called The 21 Tenets of Biblical Femininity. And boy, I'll tell you what, we need to get back to what the Bible says and just decide to believe it. Yes. And I will tell you this, if you are brave enough to do that, you're going to be attacked by the culture, and you're even going to be attacked by many Christians. And that's sad. But you know what? I would rather please God. Come on, I'm going to please God, as my old preacher used to say, even if it hair lips everybody in the county. And at some point, you got to get that attitude. I'm not going to stand and answer one day to the culture. I'm going to kneel down and look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to that. But we're not preaching on that tonight. I just wanted to kind of caution you about that. So, ladies, now you can sit back and enjoy. And I'm going to talk mostly to the husbands tonight, but I'm glad the wives are here to hear it, and I'm glad our young people are here to hear it also. Bible says this, what an astounding verse. Whoso findeth a wife findeth, that word findeth is found two times, a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And so the Bible talks about this matter of finding. If you look up that word, it means to come forth. Watch this, to appear, to attain. Think about this, to be presented, something that you've been presented. And I couldn't help but think of Genesis chapter 2, when God created a woman. And the Bible says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. What happened? She came forth. She appeared and she was acquired. And God brought her unto the man. By the way, from that day forward, Adam obtained favor of the Lord. And so did me, so did I, and so did you. If you waited and were wise and allowed God to bring the right person into your life, then let me say this. What an observation. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. And so wives are a blessed thing. Wives are a good thing, a good thing. My wife showed me a picture of a single girl, adult single girl, and she had a shirt on that said, "Please pray for my husband. He's having a hard time finding me." Well, I said, "Hang in there, girl. Be patient. And God's timing is God's will." Proverbs 19:14 said, "Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." And so, as I've already mentioned, husbands, tonight let's just celebrate our wives. I'm going to have you use your Bible a little bit, and I want to remind us husbands why a godly wife is such a good thing. Number one, I believe this with all of my heart. I think the scripture supports it. A woman is the best thing God ever made.
Yes.
A woman is the best thing that God ever made. You know, it was a woman was the last thing that God ever made. And if you go through the creation process, what you see is that God began with the very much the raw materials of creation and then refined it and refined it and refined it. And every day, you know what? Something was better than the day before. Matter of fact, let me just say it this way, okay? The day he created grass, grass is great, but cows are more advanced than grass, all right? All right, so what that tells me is that as God created things, they got better and better and better. And let me remind us men of this. Women are the crowning jewel of God's creation. She is the last thing God made, and I believe because of that, she is the best thing that God made. And so number one, a woman is the best thing God ever made. You know, folks, even in the history of our country, and even on the frontier when our country was being settled, and even in many, many of these frontier-type towns where there was not a whole lot of law, one of the things that you read about in our history was the fact that men, you know what, they would sometimes do deplorable things and wrong things and wicked things, but one thing that every man understood was this: you protected a woman. And you didn't allow a woman to be mistreated. And if a man wanted to find a rope around his neck and look up and see it strung over a branch of a tree, then you know what? You do something that's untoward towards a lady. And so I think we need to get back to that measure of respect. I think men need to understand. You know what? God made our wives, and he made our wives as the crowning jewel of creation, and a woman, I'll say it again, I believe is the best thing that God ever made. Now, let me have you go to Proverbs chapter 19, because I want you to look at some of these verses. We're right there, Proverbs chapter 19, look over to verse number 14, Proverbs 19:14. And so number one, a woman is the best thing God ever made. Number two, a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Now, I want to explain a little bit about what that is. Proverbs 19, verse number 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Notice this. And a prudent wife is from the Lord. That word prudent, I think, is interesting. It means to be skillful, to be wise, and to possess the ability to guide wittingly. And that's the definition if you go to Strong's Concordance. And you think about this, men, that God has equipped our wives with divine gifts, and I believe divine skills, that we simply do not have. Can I hear an amen there?
Amen.
Listen, he's given her and made her much different than us. Our wives have a sensitivity that a lot of times we just don't have. We talk about this feminine sixth sense. I believe it's a divine gift. I think it's the ability to have an awareness of the needs of people that a lot of times us men that are so focused on projects, and that's the way God created us. He created men to be very project-oriented and women to be more people-oriented. And by the way, that's why a wife completes us. We need that. And so sometimes somebody will say, well, men just need to become more feminine. No, a man needs to get married. All right, so preacher, have you ever got in touch with your feminine side? Yeah, I'm going to do it right now, okay? Watch me. I'm getting in touch with my feminine side, all right? And she is a gift because God created her so much different than how he created me. And men, listen, don't ignore that, okay? And by the way, don't fuss and fight over it. The reason that God created your wife differently with a different perspective is we need someone at times that has a different perspective. And so don't always look at that as a challenge to your authority if your wife is trying to share some things with you. I believe God has given our wives a sensitivity, listen, an emotional and intellectual understanding when it comes to things pertaining to the home and especially to the children that we're just not going to have. You would be very wise to listen to the input of your wives when it comes to this matter of the home and the children. You know why? Because a prudent wife is from the Lord. You know, it was God that looked down at Adam and said this, it is not good that man should be alone. And as I've already mentioned this, gentlemen, our wives complete us. Now, watch this. The two together makes one. Think about that. And recognize her for what she is. Your wife is the greatest gift. Come on, a prudent life is from the Lord. Listen to what your preacher's saying. Your wife is the greatest gift outside of salvation that God will ever bestow upon you. And so understand and appreciate that gift and remember who gave her to you. It is the Lord that gave her to you. Let me have you now go over to Proverbs chapter 31, Proverbs chapter number 31. We've said a woman is the best thing God ever made. Number two, a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Number three, a virtuous wife is a priceless gift. You're very familiar, most of you, with the book of Proverbs 31, especially verse number 10. But boy, gentlemen, we need to be reminded of this. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then it goes on to speak to the husbands and remind them of the good things that she does for us. The heart of her husband doth, notice this, this is part of virtue, safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him what? Good and not evil all the days of her life. What a gift. I mean, how can you point to anything more valuable outside of salvation than God has given you than a virtuous wife, a virtuous woman? Down in verse number 28, notice this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Come on, husbands. Her husband also. So we should also arise up and call her blessed. And he what? Praises her. So men, let's recognize our wives and recognize their value. If you are blessed with a virtuous woman, you have been given a priceless gift. And men, listen to me. Praise is an important tool in the maintenance of your marriage. Let me say it again. Praise is an important tool in the maintenance of your marriage, all right? I'm talking to men like I would talk to men, all right? We understand tools, we understand maintenance a lot. We don't understand women, but we understand tools and we understand maintenance. Well, think about this. Praise ought to be something that's in your tool belt, sir. Because that is one of the most valuable tools that you can use in to maintain and to sweeten your marriage. Which means this, gentlemen, we should be constantly looking for opportunities to praise our wife. Now, that's going to take some thoughtfulness on our part and some attentiveness. Too many of us take for granted what they do. Too many of us take for granted what they do. Take the time to notice the things that she does. And listen, gentlemen, let's get back to expressing thankfulness and gratitude. Watch this. For the everyday tasks she performs for you and for your children. Think about that. I want to remind all of us guys this. Being a wife and a mother is, listen, hard work. Hard work. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, then I'll send your wife on vacation for a week and you take over. All right, I think you'll believe it by the end of the week, okay? So be observant of that. And be, by the way, thankful for that. Not just quiet thankfulness of heart, but verbal thankfulness. The Bible says you should at times rise up and call her blessed. The Bible says that you ought to praise her. If we're not doing this, we are failing our wives. We're failing our wives. You know, ladies, don't ever say this if somebody asks you, so what do you do for a living? Don't ever say, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And don't ever say that. There's no just in that. Now think about this. I like this phrase when I think about my wife, and I don't know if it's a biblical phrase. I could take you to a place in the Bible where I think it supports it. But I like this because I believe with all my heart a godly wife is a, watch this, a homemaker. Amen. A homemaker. You ever thought about that? A homemaker. What does that mean? Listen to me, and I'm going to explain it to you. Without Cheryl, I would be living in a house. Without Cheryl, I would be living in a house. Okay? Because of Cheryl, I have a home. And gentlemen, that's pretty amazing. That's transforming. That's a reason to praise her. That's a reason to take time to thank her. And so a virtuous, let's be reminded of this, the value of a virtuous wife, she's far above, the value is far above rubies. Number four, a Christian marriage, I love this, is a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. Let me have you go to Ephesians chapter 5. Gentlemen, I think in Ephesians chapter 5, there's great instruction for us as husbands. One of the most important portions of scripture when it comes to marriage in the home, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And if you'll notice verse number 22, a Christian marriage is a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 and 23. Notice this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, notice this. Therefore, as the church, you're going to see this parallel where God is taking the wife and the husband relationship and comparing it to Christ and the church. He does so in verse 24, where therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. He does it again in verse 25. Listen, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Watch this. Come on, think of the sacrifice that he made and gave himself for it. I believe in this portion of scripture, there's three reminders when it comes to us husbands, when it comes to the needs of our wives and the responsibility that we have towards our wives. Let me break them down for you. Number one, lead your wife. Lead your wife. God has made you the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That's not given to you so you can bully her. That's not given to you so that you can, you know what, have a way to put salve on your insecurity and have somebody to boss around. That is a huge responsibility. And as husbands, let me remind you that we ought to be the ones that are leading our home and leading the marriage and taking the initiative and making sure that we're pointing our family and our wife in a godly direction. Down deep in the heart of every woman, I don't care how she was raised, I don't care what kind of an example was set before her, down deep in the heart of every woman, because God put it in there, there is a desire to follow a godly, loving man. There is the desire to follow a godly, loving man. Hey, man, let's be those kind of men for our wives. So lead your wife. Number two, love your wife. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. What a standard. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow, the bar has been set high. I mean, think about this. What love is likened unto the love of Jesus Christ and what he has shown to us? And that ought to be what we shoot for. He loved us. He loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us when we were undeserving. You know what? He loved us not because of what we are, but because of what he is. Think about that. And so God doubles down in verse number 28. Look at verse number 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And if that's not enough, jump down to verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Oh my goodness sakes, your wife needs love. She needs to feel loved. She needs to hear you say, I love you. It's a need in her life, and it's a responsibility we have. But folks, listen to me. Words without actions mean nothing. They become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And we're not going to take the time tonight, but I'm encourage every man to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 sometimes. And you know what? It's hard to find a Bible definition of love. I say this, I believe there is one. God is love. That's the standard. But it is easy to find a biblical description of love. And I think it would be good for every husband from time to time to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when it begins to describe charity, and charity being kind, and charity being patient, and charity not vaunting up itself and being puffed up. Listen, the Bible tells us how we ought to be treating our wives, not just telling them that we love them, but showing them every day of our lives that they are truly loved. Watch this, in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Too many men have a very selfish view of their relationship with their wife. It's all about what they need to do for him and not what he needs to do for her. And that is not the attitude that Jesus Christ had towards us. And so lead your wife and love your wife. Look at verse 29. I love this. When he's talking about this relationship between Christ and the church and comparing it to the husband-wife relationship, he says in verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Lead your wife, love your wife. Listen to this. What an important word when it comes to marriage. Cherish your wife. Cherish your wife. If you look up that word cherish, it means to warmly, listen to this, to warmly protect. Now, if you look at the word, and I'm going to kind of lose you for a second here, okay? And I want some of you guys to act this out literally. Remember, some things are figurative in the Bible. But it's talking about the same way a mother hen. I know this doesn't appeal to our masculinity. But it's literally, if you look that word, it's talking about the same way that a mother hen would brood her the eggs that she's waiting to hatch. Now, don't go home and sit on your wife, okay? You say, I believe the Bible literally, and if that's what it says, then that's... No, okay? But think about this. So what does that mean? And as a man, we're thinking, what are we even talking about here? But when you think about that, why does she sit and protect those eggs? Why does she sit and sometimes take her wings and cover those baby chicks? Because she is very warmly protecting them. Now, look right up here. It's so important that your wife feel that. So important that they feel like in a very warm way, okay, that you are the protector in their life. You protect them. The Bible says, men, we may get to this. Well, we will. We'll mention this. But the Bible reminds us, we'll get to this scripture when we close out here, but it reminds us that we're to give honor unto our wives as the weaker vessel. And gentlemen, even though she's been given strengths that we don't have, we've been giving strengths in areas that she doesn't have. Now, how are we going to use those strengths? You know, listen to me, an immature little bully uses his strength to prey on the weak. Come on, y'all have been involved with being bullied at some time in your life. And somebody that's a bully is stronger than somebody else. But instead of taking that strength to protect that weaker person, they take that strength to pick on that or belittle that weaker person. I'm sorry, but I've been at this a long time, and I have watched husbands do that to their wives, and that is so wickedly wrong. A man will always use his strength to protect people that are vulnerable, to protect people that are weak. Come on, there's an old English word for it. It's called chivalry. Chivalry. And you know what? A real man won't stand watching somebody bullied. A real man isn't going to watch somebody who's weak being taken advantage of. And listen, even again, like I said, that your wife, remember, we complete each other. So she is given strengths in areas that we don't have. Come on, emotionally, intellectually, a sensitivity and awareness that we ought to be thankful for and tap into. But she's also going to have areas that God has given you strength in. Are you going to use that strength to belittle her weaknesses? Or are you going to use that strength to protect her weaknesses? And so that's what it means to cherish somebody. Think about this. To warmly protect, to make them feel genuinely valued. And from time to time, I say this, one of the bravest questions, come on, men. Sometimes we ought to have honest conversations. But one of the bravest questions you could ask your wife is to sit down sometime, look at her and say, honey, I want to be who God wants me to be in this marriage. Do you feel valued? Do you feel valued? Gentlemen, listen to me. Don't ask it if you don't want an honest answer. And ladies, you know what? Give an honest answer. But even honesty, come on, ought to be seasoned with grace. But you know, sometimes these type of conversations are very valuable, because I'm going to tell you this, if I felt that my wife did not feel valued, I'd sit down and do a hard self-evaluation, and I would figure out what I needed to fix and what I needed to change so that that woman feels warmly protected in this relationship, that she feels cherished. Isn't that a good word? Cherished by her husband, that she has been given the proper value and feels that proper value from her husband. Now let's go in closing to 1 Peter chapter 3. This will be the last place we go. Oh, I love this verse. One of my favorite marriage verses in all of the Bible is 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Now gentlemen, come on. Let's remember that a godly wife, come on, is a good thing. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtain the favor of the Lord. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will, notice verse number 7, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, likewise, okay, in verses 1 through 6, He's speaking to the ladies. Now in verse number 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And I will often say this. You know what I'm going to say next. But the Bible tells us men to dwell with them according to knowledge. He doesn't ask us to dwell with them according to understanding, because God never will ask a man to do what's impossible for him to do. But we have fun with that. But understand this, folks. God chose that word very specifically. I know my wife. I've studied my wife. We've been married 41 years. I've made a science of studying her. I know her. I don't always understand her, but I know her. Look right up here, sir. You don't need to understand her. You just need to know her. Know what her strengths is and show great appreciation for that. Know what her weaknesses is and where she's vulnerable and take ownership of protecting those areas of her life. Make sure that she feels warmly protected and cherished and valued. But the Bible says, listen, the only way you're going to do that is you got to learn her. Now, I believe you young husbands, you need to study your wife. I mean, like, you need to make a science of studying your wife. Because you say, well, all women. And people too many times put everybody in the same. And that's not true. My wife is very much different than some of your wives. And your wives are very much different than my wife. And you need to know your wife and understand your wife so that you can dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, I'm getting down to what I want to close out on. But look, if you will, in verse 7. It says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And we have already spoke about that. But look at this last phrase. I love this. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, a woman is the best thing God ever made. A prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. A virtuous wife is a priceless gift. A Christian marriage is a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. Listen, what I'm going to say last. To experience life with your wife is one of the greatest graces of life that you have ever been blessed to receive. Now think about this. You know, I'm trying to imagine. I was meditating on this verse. The day we got married, we became heirs. Now, what do you think about when you think about heirs? You think about somebody that's receiving an inheritance. So we received an inheritance of the Lord, from the Lord. We received that day an inheritance for the Lord. What is the inheritance that I received? I received the honor and the privilege of experiencing life together with someone else. Now think about that. As being heirs together of the what? Grace of life. So I get in a time machine and I go back and visit the single Jerry Ross. And I'm going to tell you right now, what a mess. Okay, what a mess. We won't dwell there. But you know what? Then I watched God bring this incredible gift into my life over 41 years ago. It'll be 42 years in July. And then I think of the last 41 plus years where we have been able to experience the grace of life together. That's amazing. I can't even imagine life without her. I can't even imagine where I would be. Or how little of what I have accomplished, I would have been able to accomplish. How much of our joy flows from our children and our grandchildren, who wouldn't even be a part of our life if it wasn't for the blessing of God, who said to Jerry Ross, come on, some little young knucklehead guy, I'm going to give you an opportunity to experience the grace of life with the woman that I created for you. And I don't know what else to say, except I'm hoping I've got the attention of the young people right now. Listen, I don't care what other great goals you may have in life. If you go achieve all of them and you miss God's perfect will in a marriage partner, then you know what? My heart hurts for you. Because I don't know outside of salvation a greater gift that God has given me than the opportunity to live my life together. Come on, the only human relationship where two people become one. I mean, folks, the Bible calls it a great mystery. We can't even really understand it. You know, my relationship with my parents, two didn't become one. There's my relationship with my children, two didn't become one. Relationships with my, there's only one human relationship where God miraculously takes two individuals and brings them into one accord as one person in the sight of God. And the opportunity, listen, I want to say this. I'm trying to be careful, but you better be thankful for what God's given you. Amen. Not everybody's been given that. Amen. By the way, some people had it for a while and they don't have it anymore. We've got a lot. You got to count them up. I did the other day. I'm going to mention this to you and talk to you a little bit as we go into the next year. It's amazing how many widows and widowers Blessed Hope Baptist Church has right now. About the time you think that you don't need her, or, come on, ma'am, you don't need him, you might want to go and sit down with one of them. Maybe you ought to talk to them about what it is to be on the other side of that. Because let me tell you something, one of the greatest, I'm talking to husbands tonight, but sir, if God has blessed you with a wife, one of the greatest things he has given you is the opportunity to live this life with someone else and to be heirs together of the grace of life. Woo! Wow. I sure wouldn't have wanted to live this thing without her. And I shouldn't go here, but how many times do I say that, and then what do? I'm kind of torn about whether I really want to go first or I want her to go first. Okay, how many of you just want to go together in the rapture, amen? Let's ask God for that. Let's just ask God for that, okay? But the thing about it is, I know she would survive and do life single better than I would. What are you saying? I need her more than she needs me. I really believe that. And so I understand that part of it. And by the way, man, check the statistics. It's probably going to happen that way, all right? Okay. I don't know if at some point they get tired of us and poison us. I don't know how it happens, but most men die first. Okay, I'm just telling you. And probably most of us deserve it. So, but, and then there's the part of me, come on, that cherishes her. There's a part of me that says, yeah, but if I go first, then who will be there for her when it's her time to go? And you can say, well, the Lord will. And aren't you glad? But nobody's going to care for her the way I'd care for her. The girls would intend to, and the girls would do, I'm sure, a good job, but they're not going to ever. Listen, there's only one person that's one with her. So I guess I'm just going to put in the hands of the Lord. He knows what's best. But, wow, what a journey. I mean, what a life we've had. I mean, when you're giving those vows, you don't even know what you're saying. Okay, you're so Twitter-pated, you're not even paying attention to it. But you know what you're going to figure out? Yeah, those vows were pretty prophetic. Because there's better and there's worse. And there's richer and there's poor. And there's sickness and in health. But you've been given a grace, an opportunity that God's given you to share your life with someone else and to live your life, heirs together of the grace of God. Gentlemen, look right up here, and I've spoken to the men tonight. Let's not take that for granted. That's a blessing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your care for us and your love for us. And, Lord, we didn't have a vote in this, and you and your infinite wisdom created man and created women and created the idea of the family. And, Lord, we bow to your wisdom, to your genius in this. Lord, I know God's will is different for every individual, but Lord, those of us that bear the title of husband tonight, I pray, Lord, dear God, that we'd spend some time this week on our knees just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing me my wife. Thank you for her prudence and her virtue, and thank you for her tender, loving care of me and our children. And thank you that she takes a house and turns it into a home. And Lord, help me. Let's all pray this, man. Lord, help me to be what the Bible says I need to be for her. And Heavenly Father, we can't do that without you. And so help us, dear God. We're weak and frail, and too often times we fail. But Lord, we want to. We want to be all that you would have us to be. And we would also wish to be all that our wife needs us to be. So help us, Lord. Take this sermon tonight, this simple little Bible study. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll bring wonderful, wonderful results and great good out of it. We pray in Jesus' name.